If you'd like to turn to that reading we had, Matthew chapter 1, but I warn you now, we will be jumping about a bit, so don't panic or worry. As my daughter often tells me, we go with the flow. Go with the flow. Unfortunately, my daughter, the flow, she's not going to tolerate sometimes, but never mind. Let's see God's help now, shall we, as we come before him. Lord, it is no small wonder to us that in this small back street, half hidden away, with a small motley crowd of people seeking your face, you have promised to be with them. Because you are with those who are of a humble and contrite heart. And those that seek your face will find you. You will be found by them. And we're seeking you now, Lord. We want to meet with you. We want to sense you and feel you. We want to be changed by you and drawn even closer to you. And we want to go home with you for the rest of our lives. Would you grant that to be true today, Father? Through the life-transforming Holy Spirit, we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right, well, at the risk of being accused of being flippant, just think for a minute, if it's at all possible to, that there was and is no Christmas. I wouldn't be the happy, jolly soul I am today if there wasn't any Christmas. My grandchildren wouldn't be excited as they are at the moment. Mind you, having said that, it might be a bit quieter at home, but never mind. If there was no Christmas. How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss, a book written about 1957, was later made into a film, is a very famous story and film. I don't know if you've seen it. It's about the Grinch, a grouchy, solitary creature who attempts to put an end to Christmas. He steals all Christmassy things from the homes of a nearby town called Whoville at Christmas time. If you can get all the stuff out of the houses, get Christmas out of people's minds, that'll be Christmas done for. Well, that would be my grandchildren's worst nightmare. If the Grinch has succeeded in cancelling Christmas, and that's the Argos catalogue out the window. Of course, that's a sentimental, humorous story and film, but it does actually have a happy ending. But do you know what? Satan is the evilest Grinch that has ever tried to steal or stop Christmas. We may laugh at this, but there is a satanic Grinch going around, and he has been for millennia now, trying to put an end to this event we call Christmas. Ever since Satan realized God's real plan from the beginning of recorded time in Genesis, God's plan to save his fallen creation, fallen because it was self-inflicted by his disobedience, he's been trying to steal and to stop Christmas. And to this day, Satan continues to steal the true meaning and the truth and the power of Christmas from under people's noses. Jesus, since Genesis 3:15, has made every effort to stop, or try to stop, the birth of Jesus. His plan is either to destroy Abraham or his descendants, because from here will come the promised Messiah through human descendancy. Satan knows God's master plan. He knows it. He's seen it. Or at least he's got a glimpse of it. He doesn't understand it fully, but he's got the general idea. The Saviour of mankind, Jesus Christ, Son of God, will be born as a sinless man to save sinful men. But all through the Old Testament, God protects his people, and he protects the family line of David, all the way through the Old Testament. Every attempt to wipe out the descendants by faith of Abraham are thwarted. And then we arrive here in Matthew in the New Testament, and we arrive at this man Joseph, incredibly a descendant of King David, but Israel and the Jews have gone so far away from the truth, they've completely lost sight of the true line of David. They're looking for Brad Pitt in his turbocharged white chariot. And you see, as we read, Joseph is he's a descendant of King David. He's engaged to Mary. They're living in humble circumstances. And in the Bible, which we read, an angel is sent by God to announce to Mary that she will become pregnant, but not through Joseph, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's a powerful thought. When you think about it, a woman's womb will become impregnated by God. His finger will be on this woman's, inside this woman's womb. That's an incredible thought. What a miracle. A sinless birth. So Grinch, Satan, must pull out all the stops. Quick! Christmas must be prevented from happening. Oh, you poor folk, Satan. Do you really think you're going to thwart God's master plan? The sovereign creator God of the universe, who sustains everything in its order through the power of his word, who's raised up empires and kingdoms, and is bringing all history to a point of his choosing when Christ will return. Do you really think you can get my anger on God? But Satan is in a demented frenzy. And so, as we've read here in Matthew, it's time for Jesus to come into the world, and God arranges it so they will be at the right place, Bethlehem, at the right time. God puts it in Caesar Augustus' mind to have a census. He suddenly realises he needs a bit more money, a few more taxes, so he gets everybody to go, and he wants everybody logged so he can get lots more money to push his Roman Empire. Who put that thought in his head? You see the lengths God goes to bring about his plan. He moves the whole Roman Empire to get this woman to the place prophesied, Bethlehem, in fulfilment of Scripture. It's nothing to God. He will move the whole circumstances of an empire to get this woman from A to B. That's the mighty God of the Bible. Now you think what you're doing here today. You think of your life's path. And God has moved heaven and hell to get you here today to hear his word. That's almost as miraculous as getting Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. How on earth did you get to be here? I sometimes ask myself that when I'm in my study at home, you know, well, how on earth did I get here, Lord? Why me, Lord? And he says, shut up, get on with it, I've given you a job to do. Okay, so Satan's in a frenzy now. He's got the idea that God's some kind of plan to bring the Messiah into the world, so he's got to come up with some plans. Okay, he's got plan A, Grinch Satan. He's going to bring about a miscarriage. Satan's desperate. So Joseph and Mary must travel a long way, a trek of about 70 miles through hilly terrain from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There's no service stations or comfort stops on the way. And Mary's on a donkey whilst being heavily pregnant. There's no ambulance to hand with all the medical trimmings. There's no paramedics or air ambulances standing by. There's no mobile phones or emergency numbers to ring. Oh, Satan's going to try and cause a miscarriage. He's doing his best. But God protects Mary's womb, and there's no mishaps, and they make it to Bethlehem for the census. Okay, evil, stable Grinch couldn't pull that one off, so he must go to plan B. He's going to make them homeless. He tries to block the birth by making sure Bethlehem is so crowded with people arriving for the census, even Premier Inn is fully booked, that Mary, because she can't get anywhere, she's going to have to give birth in the open, where there's bound to be delivery complications. Satan doesn't believe it. Some misguided fool of a landlord, who obviously hasn't read the script, allows the couple to sleep in his stable. But surely, a birth in a filthy barn will finish the birth off, thinks Satan. Yeah, filthy, cold, bugs, smelly animals, no baby wipes, no hot running water. Yeah, so we're into plan C now, Satan. Plan C, there's bound to be an infection. But Satan can't believe it. Against all the odds, there's no infection and nothing happens to the baby. And where on earth did they get those clean cloths to wrap the baby in? I bet it's that stupid landlord again, interfering sentimental fool. This is all going badly wrong for Grinch Satan, who's got to stop Christmas. He must prevent the Messiah, God's promised saviour for sinners, getting into the world. He must stop Jesus getting to you. And he's going to do everything he can to stop it. And he's been trying everything. He's demented. He's in a frenzy. He must prevent God getting a final victory. But God's master plan proceeds as God intended. Okay, I'm going to have to wrap this up, says Satan. I'll go to plan D, genocide. I can still stop Christmas, I can get rid of the baby. And just to make sure, I'll get rid of all babies aged 2 and over. I'll do a blanket coverage on this one. Satan doesn't give a fig for our children, he doesn't give a fig for you. Herod the Great is an awful tyrant. And he's not so great, actually. He's only great by his own reckoning. He's a lackey of the Romans. He's the king of the Jews, and no one's going to steal his crown. I'm not going to hear about another king turning up. So Satan gets him to do his worst. However, God's plan stays on track. We read in Matthew 2 a bit further on, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And he wipes out all the 2-year-olds around the Bethlehem district and Galilee district to try and do this. But God's one jump ahead of you, Satan. You're not going to end Christmas. You've missed the boat. Sorry, chum. God's in control. He's taken care of it. He sent them to Egypt. So that's plan D out of Satan's window. What if Satan, who wants to steal Christmas, had succeeded? What if Jesus was never born during the Christmas season as a baby? What if he had been murdered? What if Christmas wasn't Christmas? Never was or has been? Well, let's bring the story up to date, shall we? Right up to 2017. And believe it or not, Satan's still at it. He's still trying to get rid of Christ in Christmas. He's now got plan E. All these other plans have been filed and forgotten, by the way, because they've all failed. All right, they're all in the archives in the basement. He's new to planning now. Sentimentality. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, they're going to love this. Yeah, and they're going to love this. All these years, Christmas has developed from a simple celebration of the birth of a Messiah into a mega commercialised indulgence event. Has it not? Has it not? And I think it started about September, didn't it? That's when I first started to see something. Couldn't believe it. I haven't even finished my summer holidays yet. I'm on the way here. The stacked up queues of cars going into Tesco was unbelievable. But Satan's plan today is to get everybody preoccupied. Now, don't misunderstand me, I'm not a misery Grinch. I like Christmas as much as anybody else, I like getting together with people. I do like roast turkey and stuffing, and I do like chocolate, and incidentally fruit and nuts are my favourite, I just thought I'd fit that in. And I do like this, so it's quite nice, but in God's grace and mercy, I see that this isn't the people one end all, this is just a family get together. But for so many, for 95% of this population, that's the driving factor. And all the sentimentality that's gathered around it. If you can bear to listen to his grating voice, you listen to the breakfast show, right? That ginger haired fellow that can't keep his mouth shut. I won't mention names, because I'll be liable. Prattle, prattle, prattle. And oh yes, they love it all, the mince pies, they'll even have some carols, they love the carols. Do you understand what you're singing? Have you got a clue what you're singing about? Have you read the words? No. It's all part of the background noise and the sentimentality of it all. And if I sound cynical, it's because I'm being cynical. You've no idea, have you? Mind you, haven't said that if God hadn't intervened in my life, I'd probably be a Nazi, you know. Let's have a few carols. Charles Dickens' winter scenes and snowmen get far bigger billing than Jeebus. That's plan E of Satan. Sentimental feel-good stuff. And it's going full blast today, 2017. But now he's ratcheted it up even further. Satan's going all out to pull the stops out these days. He's started a war on two fronts now. He's got a second plan running alongside plan E. He's got plan F. A, B, C, D, E, F. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to keep up with all these names. He's got a plan F. Atheism. We now have Satan's trumped up debate in your face about religion versus secular ideals and freedom. Merry Christmas versus Happy Holiday or Winter Festival. That's what we've got now, haven't we? You know what? Now, I must admit, this was 3 or 4 years ago. But I saw an episode, it must have been with the grandchildren, because I don't watch these things on my own, a Thomas the Tank Engine episode. I couldn't believe it. It was at Christmas time, and there was all the snow there, but the engines were all gathered to celebrate a winter festival. They even done it to a kids program. Happy Winter Festival. That's plan F. So Satan's plans E, sentimentality, and F, atheism, they now work alongside each other very smoothly. And they go in full blast, and you see it all around you now. So try and put an end to Christmas. Okay, he hasn't stopped it. I'll try to muffle it, and deaden it, and clog everybody up with Christmas pudding, chocolate, religious music, feel good factors, season of goodwill and love, and then you can go back to killing each other on January the 2nd. I'll do all that, and I'll get Jesus and the gospel out of their minds. Okay. I failed to stop Christmas, but I'll do the next best thing. Now we need to open up our eyes and see what we get. All joking aside, when you sign up to Satan's plans E and F without Jesus, the Saviour, this period of Christmas is a soulless, self-indulgent and meaningless binge. And it will pass. And the feel-good factor will pass. And love and goodwill will end on 2nd of January like it did last year and the previous 1,000 years, and nothing will change. Men's hearts and lives will still be the same. I'm not being pessimistic. I study history. Every Christmas is the same. Godless, soulless, and there's really no hope for a hopeless, godless world when you take the Christ out of Christmas. If there's no Christ in Christmas, there's no historical Jesus, there's no Saviour, there's no forgiveness, there's no peace with God, there's no home in heaven. Alright, Peter, yeah, I know there's things I don't like, you know, but yeah, I'm not that bad, really. I'm quite a nice person. I think it's going to be alright on the night. The night being that door at the end of the corridor that we've all got to go through at the end of the night. You think I'm being OTT, do you? You know, secretly, actually, we're pretty hypocritical, aren't we, humans? We think we're pretty self-righteous in our own eyes. We think that God owes us somehow, if there is a God, you know. But our Creator God sees more in us than we ever could, because we're blinded by sin from day birth. Satan's got this drug, he's got this epidural in people, and he's stupefied them. And it's like a fog, and we can't see it. But this is what God says us. He sees far more than you do about yourself. This is God's looking at your heart and soul right now. He's looking at it right now. As you sit there, dozing off, because I'm going on a bit, he's looking right at your heart, and he says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Do you know that? Your heart, without God and without Christ in it, is desperately sick. So sick, you're going to die from this sickness. I don't just mean dead and buried. I mean eternal death, away from God. Who can understand it? Do you understand the deepest recesses of your own heart and feelings? What do you see when you look in there? You dare try to analyse it, do you? You dare try to analyse it. You know what's there. You know what you're capable of. You know what, without God's hand upon you, you're going to run to all kinds of excesses. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're thinking. Well, I tell you this, says God, I will give to each man according to his ways. If you want Christ out of Christmas, you got it. You can have it. But there'll be nobody to step up to the plate for you on the last day. I will give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. That's God's pronouncement. You won't be hearing that from any pulpits today, especially at Christmas. Oh, Peter, you miserable Calvinistic Puritan. Oh, you drab, dour, reformed person, you. Listen, because I want you to have a joyful Christmas and a meaningful Christmas, I'm going to tell you what God has told me to tell you. All right? If you're just going to fill your heart and your life up this week and for the rest of the year with booze, chocolate, socialising and everything else, then this coming year is going to be the same as last year, the year before, and the year before, and the year before, and so on. Nothing is going to change. Do you want something different this Christmas? Do you want real life? Do you want to come alive? Do you want God in your heart and life? Do you want Christ to reign there? Look deep into your own heart right now. Tell me, are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you content? If Christ returns tonight, or for whatever reason you're removed from this planet tonight, are you confident that you can stand before God because you have a Saviour and a Redeemer whom you've handed over your soul and your sin to? Have you got that reassurance? You have, if you're a born-again believer. No matter how much you've failed, no matter how flawed we are, you have a Redeemer. You are redeemed. Emmanuel is God with you. And he doesn't leave you, Christian. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He said that. So what do you see when you look deep into your heart right now? What do you see? Cynicism? Skepticism? Whatever. And can we please get a move on so we can have the mince fries and the coffee? That's a pretty good answer for one of us on the plate here. But I see it in your eyes week after week. Oh, get a move on. The yawns, the glazed look. I'm sorry, but I have to look at these faces. And it saddens me. Saddens me that you don't take on board what God is telling you, and you do not surrender, and you do not hand over. It's so simple. And because it's so simple, it's difficult. You cannot believe it's that simple, can you? Christ wants to come and be Emmanuel for you. But you've got to invite him in. You've got to ask him in. He's not going to force his way in and break the door down, although in his election plan that is what's going to happen, but nonetheless, he's not going to make a robot of you. Have you done it? Have you surrendered to the Christ child your sick heart and your sick soul and asked him to make you well and whole and give you joy and peace and contentment and the knowledge that your sins are forgiven and that you're right with God and you're in a meaningful personal relationship with him? Do you know that? Is 2018 going to be any different for you? It can be. It can be. It will be. Listen, the angel says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. There is good news. There is good news. There is hope. Christmas is the beginning of God's rescue mission, his master plan from day one that Satan couldn't, can't prevent. And God's plan involves you. God's plan involves you. You're involved in this. You can't shuffle off onto the sidelines with your cup of coffee away from God. He's got his eyes on you and they're boring into you. And his love is drilling a hole into you. And he says, come, come on, come on, come to me, do it, do it. Bring your sin, bring your soul. I will give you a new love. I will change you. I will make you whole and well, and I will give you a home in heaven. God's plan involves you. Oh yes, you, right now. Today, God's gift to mankind started in Bethlehem, and the gift is here today. Miraculous. He comes in the form of a boy child, and he will grow up to be a man. Everybody loves Christmas. Well, you love the baby Jesus. Ah, lovely baby Jesus. but I don't love the man Christ Jesus because he says things, and they're personal, and I'm not just twitch. But you know he's right. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But this is God's master plan. It was from the beginning. And Grinch Satan has not been able to thwart it. And all he's reduced to today is guerrilla warfare. But he's doing a good job of that. God so loved the world. This is how God loved the world. This is how God loved you. Not that you deserved this. But he went for these lengths. He gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him, right? He's given the gift. But you've got to believe. That's taking the gift. Okay? He's given the gift, his son. It's there for the taking. You've got to reach out and take hold of him. You've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to believe who he is. You've got to believe he can do what he said he will do. And you've got to hand over everything to him. He gave his one and only son that everyone who believes in him will not perish. If you do not believe in him, if you do not hand over your soul and your heart and life, you will perish. That's not my opinion. That's pure logic. But if you hand over your heart and life, you will have eternal life. It will start today. You will go on forever with God, with Jesus, eternity, in sublime paradise and perfection. Do you want that? Oh, everybody wants that. But they're not ready to submit. They're not willing to submit to the conditions for that, are they? You can't have it both ways. God offers you life and peace and joy and contentment and satisfaction and a home in heaven with him, but you've got to meet his conditions. You must humble yourself. You must repent. You must hand over your sin to him, and you must ask him to change your heart and life. Humility. The worst hindrance is pride. Self-righteousness. Humbly, I beg you, humbly, reach out. Accept the gift. There is hope in a hopeless world. Satan is defeated. And you can kick him out of your life, and his influence and his drug can be removed from your life if only you would believe and surrender and invite King Jesus in as you kick Grinch Satan out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your master plan is masterful. It has come to pass, and Satan and even all hell cannot and has not prevented it. We thank you that you are the sovereign God, almighty, all powerful, and that Jesus has risen from the dead and he's conquered Satan and his ultimate weapon, death, and he reigns supreme. We thank you, Lord, that there is a way. There is a way back. And you have given us hope. But it is the narrow path that leads to the door of Jesus. Would you guide our footsteps there, dear Lord? May we do it today, may we do it this Christmas, so that 2018 will be vastly and superior different to all the previous years. Make us your child, Lord, because we are born again. Emmanuel.